It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, Graham Plattner in Maine suspended his campaign. Suspended. That's political speak for ending the campaign. It did take a while, though, didn't it? A Nazi tattoo was not enough to end it. Ridiculing a Purple Heart recipient wasn't enough to end it. Going on a social media platform used by predators wasn't enough to end it. Not to mention his actual policies, which are just a rubber stamp of the Democrat socialists. Redistribution of wealth. Abolish ICE. Defund the police. Sex change operations for children. Open borders. Oh, and for good measure, be sure to throw in something about freeing Palestine. Yes, anti-Semitism is never far off when dictatorships are coming our way. I know. Socialists and communists don't claim to be dictatorships. They just become dictatorships after they gain power. No, neither the policies of Plattner nor the lifestyle of Plattner made any difference so far, but now he's accused of actual rape by a victim whose story is corroborated. Some might say this was the final nail in the coffin. Well, no, not really. The final nail in the coffin is that Plattner was losing in the polls to Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins. Prior to that, this guy was getting endorsement after endorsement. Okay, so he might have made one or two boo-boos. That's all water under the bridge. Who hasn't made mistakes? Elizabeth Warren said, "That's my kind of man." Gee, I thought her kind of man wore moccasins, but let's not go there right now. Bernie Sanders, of course, was all over this guy. I can still hear him at those crowd endorsements. "I like Plattner. You like Plattner." Now, Plattner was already accused of sexual assault when he was getting these endorsements. Isn't that the same as rape anyway? They didn't care. All they care about is power. So when the polls changed and they knew they were approaching the deadline for a candidate to drop out, they gave the green light to have him removed. It's just that simple. This is just the way they got rid of Biden after his stellar debate performance against Trump and switched him out for the Wonder Woman of word salads. If you don't believe my interpretation of this, you must ask yourself how this incredible timing and coincidence took place and why previous allegations never mattered to the party who claims to champion women's rights. Now, I should say, Plattner denies all these claims. In fact, just to be clear, he categorically denies them. Oh, well, categorically. You didn't explain it like that. Politicians love that word. Other words loved by Democrats? Existential. If you don't believe climate change is a threat, maybe you'll think twice if we call it an existential threat. Trump is not only a threat to democracy, he's an existential threat to democracy. Their other big word, while asked why they tolerate communists and anti-Semites in their party, "We believe in a big tent." That was a talking point given out because it appeared on just about every talk show from 10 or 15 different Democrat pundits. "We believe in a big tent." Well, not big enough to accept a Jewish person, or a pro-life person, or a person who believes people should be in our country legally, or a person who believes in two genders. Not that big. Just big enough for some man-eating tigers who will devour the rest of the circus. It's like cloning the dinosaurs of Jurassic Park and then wondering why dinosaurs took the park over. These are the people championing democracy. Lindsay Fifield, one of Plattner's former girlfriends, already accused him of abuse quite some time ago. She said he twisted her arm. He refused to let her leave her room. But you see, she was a conservative. Now she claims the New York Times, who interviewed her, wrote their story in such a way as to make her allegations seem less credible. Fifield said, "The line most shared from the piece was the claim that the Times could not corroborate my story, quote unquote, despite talking to two of my friends. I gave them the contact information for five friends. They called the two who I clarified would not know about the abuse, but would be able to affirm our relationship, timeline, events, etc. They simply did not call the other three." She also says the Times left out key details. "The Times also failed to include any mention that I did confide in multiple friends through the years that Graham had been abusive long before he was running for office. Those friends confirm that they told the Times so." Gee, I thought a woman would never lie about something like this. That's what the Democrats said when Kavanaugh was accused. That's what they said when Clarence Thomas was accused. Of course, it was different when Clinton got accused. And up until he slipped in the polls, different when Plattner was accused. Welcome to the real Me Too rule. Not all women need to be believed, just Democrat women. Now, if Plattner was smart, he'd claim to identify as a woman. "Hey, I'm a woman too, so you have to believe me." But he picked a different strategy in the wake of this latest accusation. Before examining his strategy, let's key in on this latest accusation. Only a few days ago, Jenny Rossico accused Plattner of sexual assault in a Politico report and then was later interviewed for the same article. I should say she, too, had already gone to the New York Times in the past. At that time, she described Plattner's behavior as troubling. She said he came to her home intoxicated in 2021 after she had asked him to stop visiting. She called his actions reckless and unsettling. This she all said before. The update? Rossico told Politico that when Plattner entered her home in 2021 intoxicated, he forced himself upon her. Why had she talked around that before? In a CNN interview explaining what kept her from coming forward with the actual rape charge in the past, she said she chose not to go public earlier out of fear and because she did not want to be known as a rape victim. But she also said something disturbing. She added another reason. She was a Democrat who supported Plattner's policies. But now she says people deserve to know the type of person he is. Anyway, getting back to Plattner's response, he recorded an 11-minute video. He not only denied the accusations, but he sharply criticized the Democrat Party for using all its muscle to take him out. He made it very clear that this was the reason his campaign was ending, not because he did anything wrong. Several times he looked teary-eyed and sounded very emotional.
"We are suspending campaign operation. This is incredibly difficult because I know that some will think it's an admission of guilt, and it most certainly is not. We're not doing it because of the allegations. We're doing it because of the structures that are being taken away from us by those in power."
He sure does sound sad. This moves me close to tears myself. The poor Nazi pig. Yes, this is so sad, it might sound better with violin music.
"We are suspending campaign operation. This is incredibly difficult because I know that some will think it's an admission of guilt, and it most certainly is not. We're not doing it because of the allegations. We're doing it because of the structures that are being taken away from us by those in power."
Now, listen to me carefully. Much as I have zero reason to believe these denials, there is one thing the guy's right about. Yes, he's obviously lying about his past, but ironically, he is correct about what the Democrats are trying to pull once again. Look, he may be a horrible candidate. I wouldn't vote for him if I was offered a free trip to Hawaii. But that is the candidate voters chose, and they chose him knowing all about his baggage. Baggage so horrible, it would break an airport carousel. The Democrats should swallow this pill. They should pay the price for the monster they unleashed, but they won't. Again, it's all about power. Instead, they're denying the will of the people, stupid as the people might be. And speaking of stupidity, speaking of power, what are the exact ingredients for a dictatorship? Well, you start with a figurehead who has charisma. If he smiles, so much the better. Oh, the women really dig a man who smiles. Just look at Mondani. Never mind that he's an anti-Semitic communist. Who could possibly be bad if they smile? Then throw in a cause. Mention that millionaires aren't paying their fair share. If after a while you become a millionaire yourself like Bernie Sanders, just change the word millionaire to billionaire. Oh, and be sure to create a threat so that people will be frightened. Then offer protection from the threat as long as they're willing to give up their freedom in exchange for protection. Wrap both the cause and the promise of protection like a gift. Climate change might be the Trojan horse. Communist dictatorship would be the army hiding inside the horse, just waiting for morons to take the gift inside their city walls. Yes, start with a charismatic figure, add a danger, add in the promise of protection, sprinkle in stupid people, incredibly stupid people who don't know how to think, and finally, cowards who see what's going on but won't do anything about it. That is the cake mix that will bake us into a dictatorship. This is Bob Siegel, whose only personal cake mix is making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing okay. Better than our country, but I'm doing all right.
Speaking of which, so not to break the fourth wall with a lot of listeners, but I wanted to do an episode of Bob responding to atheists, but because of what has happened the past few days here in our news, I mean, my goodness gracious, it's kind of hard to ignore it at this point. So
yeah, there are some big elephants in the room, so we'll do that on a future show.
Exactly. So for now, Let's talk about Lindsey Graham. Unfortunately, he did pass away today.
Very unexpectedly. I heard the news this morning, and I was absolutely shocked. He seemed in good health.
Absolutely.
Vibrant.
I said this to you off the air, where I said, when I saw it, I thought, oh, there's a typo on social media. They meant the other person.
Mitch McConnell has been sick and in the hospital, and he said he's retiring, so that would have been the easy one to wonder about.
Exactly. But he still is recovering, but he says it was due to pneumonia, I believe, from him falling, apparently.
Well, we wish him the best. He's not my favorite senator, but I still wish him the best.
Exactly. And that goes the same for Lindsey Graham, to say the least, because to be honest with you, I'm very mixed on him.
I am too. I give him a mixed review. Why don't you tell me what you're mixed on? Okay. I'll tell you what I'm mixed on.
I'm going to save the pros for last.
Now, even though we're mixed, we're very sad for him. Of course. We're sad for his family.
I'm going to save the pros last because I think we should leave on a good
note. Leave on a
good
note, of course.
So the cons. I mean, the biggest one for sure is how much he was critical of Donald Trump at the time.
This is where I'm at too. He was very checkered. Back in the 2016 election, he was critical. Then he became a big Trump advocate in Trump's first term, which was good. When the January 6th thing happened, and he's not the only one who did this. Republicans just jumped ship. Lindsey Graham gave a little speech saying, enough is enough. I won't go along with this anymore. Now he's a big Trump supporter again. So it was very checkered, but they did manage to bury the hatchet.
Absolutely.
And he has been a great Trump. I will say this too, boy, when he defended Brett Kavanaugh, that was one of the best speeches ever given in the Senate floor. He just wailed into the Democrats, and he really turned that whole thing around.
Well, going back to what you were saying about the 2016 one, his words.
Now, I didn't like Trump in 2016 either, I should say. You might remember, I was very critical of him, but I grew to like him. He grew on me.
And again, I would say the words that he was using, they could be viewed as personal attacks, but at the same time, you weren't sure on the guy in the first place in 2016, for sure, saying that Trump would drop like a hot rock if he was ever.
Trump used quite a few words and insults himself.
Exactly, so and they were much more personal towards him, I feel like. And again, the worst I would say that McConnell, based on, and this is just based off the top of my head, he said, I remember the big words where he's not a credible candidate. So that's the worst.
McConnell said that about Trump,
saying that he's not a credible candidate.
Okay, but I thought we were talking about the things Graham said.
Oh, sorry. Did I say McConnell? Yes, I meant Graham. Yes. I meant Graham. No, McConnell.
Easy mistake. We're talking about both of them.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So Graham has said that back in the day, too.
Yeah.
I remember Graham also, like you said, was one of the people stating that he's morally and practically responsible for the January.
And that's zero evidence. And I viewed that as an impulsive thing where he was just trying to cover his own butt. And I was disgusted by that.
Uh-huh. And again, like you said too, that he did switch up his views on Trump and everything like that. But that also goes down to his political inconsistencies. He just seemed to go every which way.
Well, Mike Friedenberg's take on him is that he was a political weatherman and he'd always take the temperature and then go where it's hot. If he started seeing Lindsey Graham supporting Trump, he'd say, oh, I guess that's good news because Trump must be getting popular again.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, Lindsey Graham wouldn't be going in his corner.
Now, as much as I like his foreign policies, and he was a huge
I didn't agree
proponent
with him on the whole Russia-Ukraine thing. I am in agreement that we should just get out of that war. Although
I agreed.
We're really not in it. We're just giving military aid.
You were actually going to get to my point about he's very quick to go with U.S. military
he's
engagement.
He's a hawk.
Yes.
And he would probably be for troops on the ground. And
absolutely.
He's much more of a hawk than Trump is.
But the issue becomes, obviously, wars cost a lot of money in the long front, too.
Yes.
And not to mention, it seems like these days wars just seem to never end at that point. Because every time we think we have a deal done, whoops, maybe not anymore. Maybe
Going to be a deal done. How many times have I said that on this show?
I know.
And then Trump comes out and says, I'm fed up. You can't make a deal with them. And I said, they're still going to call him. Every time he bombs them, we want to make a deal. We want to make a deal. Well, Trump gives in again.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next segment. Going back to, again, Lindsey Graham, he lacked local engagement, which I completely agree. He was so focused on foreign affairs or more nationalistic affairs versus what his own
state. He was going to get that SAVE Act, or he was going to try very hard to get that SAVE Act across the finish line, though. Mm-hmm. So politically, we have been injured by his departure.
Last thing I would say is during that 2020 election, he wanted to throw out a whole bunch of ballots in Georgia. Apparently, that was what the rumor rumor was, where I was like, well, weren't the Democrats doing that too? So why are you trying to follow through on this whole election situation?
Well, was he on Trump's side with that one? Because I think Trump wanted to get, you're talking about those late night ballots
exactly.
that were brought in?
Yeah, but Democrats,
I would have been fine if they got rid of those.
But Democrats were doing it on their side. So therefore, I thought tit for tat for that matter. And, you know, I would say just keep it going then if that's the case. But that's just my opinion. Either way.
Well, this voting by mail and votes brought in day after day, that's a problem anyway.
Exactly. Now, that's all the cons I had for the most part. Was there anything else you wanted to add as a con for?
No, like I said, the biggest pro, the time I was the most proud of Lindsey Graham, and I think what he'll go down in history for, was when he got up and looked the Democrats in the eye when they brought in that false witness. She's proven to be a false witness against Kavanaugh. And he said to the Democrats, when you brought forth your nominees, I voted for them because I believed elections had consequences. He said, I never did to you what you're doing to us. But he just yelled at them. When you get a chance, everyone listen, go back and play that off YouTube. It was a phenomenal speech. And it really turned the tide around. It changed the trajectory. And I think Kavanaugh owes a lot. And I think that endeared Graham back to Trump when he did that too.
See, I would have actually said his biggest accomplishment is actually when he was the chairperson on the Senate Budget Committee and actually getting some of these budgets finally passed, because my goodness, the amount of times these things kept going on and on and on, he was able to work a bipartisan deal all the time.
He was good at reaching across the aisle, and I didn't mean to make it sound like the Kavanaugh thing is the only good thing.
Oh, yeah, no,
that was my personal favorite, but he's done a lot of good things, but again, it's been kind of checkered, mixed review.
I understand, and again, I can't commend him enough for his militaristic posture when it comes to our country. And again, I personally do like the foreign aid. Now, again, I agree with you. The boots on the ground situation, that could be a separate thing. But just in general about his foreign aid, it was really, really well done, I thought. And I think he was able to help out a lot of the other countries still at the same time while helping us in the long run.
Foreign aid is fine. I think we've gone a little overboard with Ukraine. But I do believe in foreign aid.
So again, our hearts and prayers go out to Lindsey Graham. A very
it's
sad
It's
passing.
Very sad. All in all, he was a good senator. He was a good man.
Absolutely. So when we come back, guess what? Iran just attacked again.
No!
I thought we had a deal and everything. I thought it was all in place.
Well, one thing Trump did say is he finally said that ceasefire is not in operation, but we'll talk. So that is a little bit of a change.
Oh, that second part. I just saw the twitch in his eyes, ladies and gentlemen, when he said the talk part.
It's not going to make any difference.
We'll talk about it when we come back.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle, so when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
When I ran a tax in the midst of peace negotiations, I'm as surprised as I am every morning when the sun comes up once again. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, again, like you said, U.S. and Iran are back to attacking each other again.
What they will string this out until the midterms, no matter what is agreed upon.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Absolutely. So let me just give a quick update on everything that's been going on, because right now I have about, is it three pages of news that have happened in the last 3 days. So strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. First off, the U.S. did strike about 140 Iranian military sites in an overnight aerial assault Saturday night going into Sunday morning. After those strikes, Gulf allies of the U.S. reported droves of Iranian fire, including Kuwait, Oman, Jordan, and the United Arab Emirates and Qatar as well. Within the past hour for that one, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard once again fired at commercial shipping as well in the Strait of Hormuz. Once again, there was another story that happened this morning as well, with another shooting of another ship within the Strait of Hormuz. Again, like you said, this is just going to strain out as long as they can until that midterm comes up.
Well, is it any surprise when we're letting Turkey broker the deal? Mm-hmm. Turkey has called for the destruction of Israel. They're a supporter of Hamas. I mean, why are we dealing with Turkey at all?
All right. And why is it big news that Tehran, of all planes, is saying like, oh, come on, this is enough, please, guys. Can we stop? I don't think that this is necessary as well. I just think, again, Trump should be focusing on some other things that are going on, because honestly, this whole situation just continues to be prolonged in the long run. But moving on very quickly to the U.S. launched strikes against Iran, according to the Pentagon. At 5 p.m. Eastern today, U.S. Central Command forces began launching more strikes against Iran to continue degrading their ability to attack civilian mariners.
You know, we need to just go in and finish the job. Just finish it, because no matter what talks we have, there will be some kind of war going on all the way up to the midterms anyway. Trump is probably going to pay a price for that no matter what. Why don't we just finish the job? Maybe we could finish the job before the midterms.
Possibly. And again, the surrounding countries, I think, would appreciate that too, on top of that, because they're getting attacked
constantly. Well, again, I don't trust Turkey, and I don't trust Qatar either. They're very anti-Israel, too.
But are they tired of Iran attacking their country as well?
I would say so. But there are people there that are thinking if we made peace with Iran, maybe they wouldn't attack. You have that going on. By the way, talking about selling these planes to Turkey,
yes,
that is just insane. There are times when I just don't understand Trump. Except again, I know he'll do anything to make a deal. That's his thing.
And again, on top of that, too, I'm thinking there's got to be some underlying theme besides just the plane selling, obviously. I bet there's going to be some part of the deal that hasn't been leaked yet to the information of the media to know that Trump's, again, 5 steps ahead of this whole peace deal situation, or I should say, quote, peace deal in quotes in the first place.
I do believe he's thinking ahead and has a strategy. That gives me some comfort.
Yes, I do believe so, too. And again, these small militaristic attacks on each other, I do think it is part of his strategy, but at the same time, enough's enough.
I think he wants to be able to call it peace for the sake of the midterms, but still, there's no way they're going to strike us if we don't strike them back. That's just not going to happen.
Oil prices have risen over 3%.
Just the last couple of days, they were going down.
Exactly. Brent crude, the international benchmark, rose 3.92% to $78.99 a barrel, and the U.S. crude climbed 3.44% at $73.87 a barrel. However, I do want to point out that the founder and president of Rapidan Energy Group, Bob McNally, did report that this increase is actually pretty tame. Brent crude, mind you, was reaching $115 a barrel in April. So it's a significant drop compared to what it was in April in the first place. So he says that this price always fluctuates according to how the war is too. But luckily, the prices are this low still because the oil companies themselves are very much trustworthy in Trump's hands right now of what he's doing there. And I couldn't agree more. Trump knows exactly what he's doing, like we've been saying this entire time. He knows what strategy is next, and he knows what Iran will do next, possibly, too, in this whole situation.
Well, everybody knows what Iran's going to do next.
Exactly.
It's not rocket science.
Maybe
fired war rockets, but it's not rocket science.
Thank you. The only thing else I just want to say here, too, is that the Iranian reports that are coming out of this is like really terrible stuff that I'm going to be reading to you here. Viola Haiti, which is Khuzestan's deputy governor for security and law enforcement affairs, told Mayor that the American enemy targeted two locations near Ahvaz, a city that's known for petroleum industry, and also stated that there will be more military missiles to American enemies as well. So they're literally calling us the enemy in this whole situation too.
Well, of course.
And last
they
thing,
call for our death every day. Why wouldn't they call us their enemy?
Exactly.
Also?
I'm trying to find my other quote here because, again, our favorite United Nations actually came up again in the whole talks once again. And I'm trying to find the quote here. But until I could find that quote, all I could say is, what are the United Nations going to do about this? Nothing. They've lost power years ago. What part of this whole United Nations?
If the United Nations had been around in ancient times, David would have laid down his slingshot and Goliath and his buddies would have conquered Israel.
I found the quote finally. Iran's foreign ministry stated on Sunday, only 25 days after signing the agreement to end the war, the United States openly violated nearly all parts of that agreement by attacking Iran's transportation infrastructure, fishing vessels, cargo barges, and meteorological facilities and buildings. The U.S. has committed some of the most heinous acts of war crimes. It further alleged that the U.S. military had used the territory and facilities of countries along the southern coast of the Persian Gulf to carry out attacks on Iran and warned that any source of attacks against Iran would be considered a legitimate target for what is called defensive strikes by Iranian armed forces. The ministry, the foreign ministry of Iran, called on the United Nations and the Security Council to hold an aggressive party meeting and those who aided and facilitated them to be held accountable. Oh, the United Nations will hold us accountable.
Well, that sounds like a thing you can talk them into doing.
Exactly. So like you said, I do think that Trump is salivating at deals again, like you said, all the time. But at this point, just ignore it. Just ignore it and move on. There's no point of doing this whole situation. Focus on midterms. Focus on any other policy right now. What's happening in Iran is happening in Iran now at this point. And just move on until after the midterms. Then nuke them, I say. Maybe not nuke them, but maybe just continue
to
fire.
Yeah, and just keep it out of the news and quit talking about it. Let it be. I mean, people are getting used to it anyway. Just let it go.
It's always the Iran news now at this point. Yeah, every single U.S. Exactly. Iran news. All right, well, when we go to commercial break, we have more updates on the highness, the royal.
His royal majesty.
Yeah, and you'll know who I'm talking about when we come back to the Bob Segal Show.
This is Bob Segal. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, going through the news of the week. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas. Hey,
Bob, do you hear that in the background? I hear some British Montreal.
Is it a parade coming?
I don't know.
Is it a celebration?
No, it is our...
Hearken! Hearken!
It is our Newsome Update.
So what does the king have to say about saving democracy this time?
Anytime I want to push him out of the news, he just seems to come right back in there. I can't
get him
out of here.
Like an old penny, he turns up. He's going down in the polls, though, for the Democrats.
That's the good news. That's the good news on this whole thing. Well, anyways, he's going to Nevada. Do you know what that means? He's running for president.
Yes, of
obviously,
course.
Yeah. No. According to his spokesperson, they said, following the success of Prop 50, which gave Democrats a path to retake the House through California, Governor Newsom is campaigning the same bill across all of America to help elect more Democrats, flip seats, and end Donald Trump's unchecked power, according to
Donald Trump's unchecked power, the president who gets overturned by every court every time he makes a decision. That's unchecked power.
Right, exactly. And then
the guy who can't get his bills through Congress because of the filibuster, that's unchecked power.
Or whenever he does get a bill passed through Congress, oh, that's right, the court system.
Courts overturned it. Yeah, he's about the most checked president I've ever seen in my life.
There's a literal check mark on the president.
There's times I wish he was king because I believe in some of the things he wants to get done.
Well, Izzy Garden, when directly asked, is this for any presidential run, she directly said, no, not at all. And I'm like, no,
of course not. And if you believe that, I'll tell you another.
Bob, you said it best. Every time a politician says, I'm not running, or if I'm running, I'm running for the American people.
Right now, I'm just concentrating on serving the American people.
This is some malarkey if I ever read this. So this is a big ordeal because Nevada is a key state in the Democratic presidential primaries and a general election battleground because he's...
I'm trying to remember. Did they go for Trump in 2024 in Nevada?
They sure did.
I thought they did.
But it's still...
It's still a blue state. Mm-hmm. It's still a blue state.
So Kamala Harris was there earlier, too. She was probably there
for the free cocktails at the casinos.
And also to make a note of this, this is the third time Newsom is visiting the state during his governorship.
Yeah, the guy does everything except actually govern.
So, quite interesting, all of a sudden he's saying that I'm not running for president, or at least a spokesperson is, but yet all these seem to coordinate to that all of a sudden. But basically what's going to happen is that he's going to be trying to help out Aaron Ford, a Democratic state attorney general who's running in one of the most competitive gubernatorial races in the country. He's going to also help out Representative Stephen Hortsford, too, during his three-day visit in Nevada. And lastly, like you said, he's going to be trying to help promote Prop 50 or at least a similar bill in other states too. Now, other things of note too is that he stated that he will be visiting southern states. Now, he hasn't mentioned which states in particular, but he's obviously trying to hint at the Black and Latino community since down in the southern states, that's where most of them conglomerate over
there. Well, you know that candidate in Texas, Telefrico, he's tied in the polls right now. That's pretty precarious.
I don't know whether to put something behind that one entirely, but still.
Well, I don't always trust the polls, which is the good news.
Yeah, so exactly.
The polls may be wrong.
How many times have we seen that happen?
It has. Still, I'm disturbed to see even a poll say that in Texas, of all places.
I do need to go back to listen to some Mike Friedenberg and to see which polls are the more accurate ones. Because
I know Rasmussen is one of them. Mm-hmm. There's a few others whose name I'd recognize if I heard it.
Yeah. In a recent email sent to some donors, three Democratic candidates could flip red seats. Richard Pan, Randy Villegas, and Marty Von Wilprecht, who raised more than $120,000 in a single day, according to his political team as well. The other thing, too, of note is that during this whole situation, if you have not heard the news, is that Trump, or at least people in Trump's administration specifically, are putting a probe out into the tax records of Newsom's wife. Now, Newsom has stated publicly in this whole situation that people need to know what's going on, and there's a certain point where enough is just enough.
I was under the impression, unless I'm confusing it with a different California scandal, that this was an investigation launched by the Justice Department before Trump even returned to power.
That is correct, yes.
So but they're just more, blaming but
it's been
Trump
more,
for
but
it.
It's more motivated. And yes,
well, of course, yeah, of course, it's Trump's people carrying the ball right now, but they were not the ones that started.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Department of Justice was the one.
Right.
But no, of course Newsom blamed Trump immediately.
What
he
else
said
would
it
he
was
do?
100% Trump, of course. And the last thing, too, of course, is this lovely quote saying, "This abuse is overwhelming to us. Poor innocent people getting knocks on the doors first thing in the morning, having to hire private attorneys. Oh, my heart bleeds for you, Newsom."
Like the poor innocent people that had to hire attorneys when they refused to get vaccinated? People
exactly.
like that, Newsom?
Yeah, or the ones who had to, say, locked in their places. But as soon as you said, don't go to restaurants.
Talk about ruling as a king.
Yeah, you go to the laundry room, of course.
Yes.
So thanks a lot, Newsom, yeah. The last thing to note about this whole situation, too, is that the Associated Press themselves have actually said the source is familiar with the matter, that he was even under investigation in the first place. And the federal probes themselves have actually gone more specifically into the wife's taxes specifically. So that's what it was actually. So yes, the DOJ started a criminal investigation for him and his wife, but they're now looking into her tax records now is what the source is saying now.
So it's metastasized.
Correct. The U.S. Attorney's Office is not commenting on any investigation or where the investigation is currently going to as well. So not surprised. I mean, you don't want to let out hey, by the way, we're looking at this, by the way. So all this smells guilty, 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 and I'm not surprised those numbers are going down, down, down because of this whole situation.
The guy's guilty just based on the things he says when he opens his big mouth.
Well, you know what he's not guilty of? Having bad hair. I'll give him that. You know what? He's got that hair down pat.
And there are women that will vote for him for
just because of the hair.
The hair, the smile. I just get a good vibe. A good vibe.
God. Oh, where is our country going to with that one? All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to get away from the political realm and focus more on a religious realm on this last segment. And I'm talking about some music stuff here coming up. So we'll talk about that when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Well, Welcome back to one more segment of the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
You know, Bob, it's not often I get to talk about music news with you, of all things. It's always political.
To a lesser degree, movies and
exactly,
the arts.
Exactly, yeah. But very rare. I think the last time I even talked about music is two things. One, I did an album review, the first ever Bob Siegel music album review, ladies and gentlemen. That was really cool. And number two was Kanye West with his crazy
antics, or running
for president.
When some artist makes it into the broader news.
Exactly. So this time around, we're going to talk about an artist named Charlie Crockett. Now, let's ignore his political views because he is a very much liberal kind of guy. He even
not
said
related it, to Jasmine, I assume.
Definitely not.
Or Davey.
Definitely not related to either one. He stated on record about being against Trump and Elon Musk and so on and so forth for sure. This involves more on a religious
aspect.
You know,
it's so brave to be in the entertainment business and make a statement like that.
I know.
The courage just dripping from the guy.
Well, Charlie Crockett is about to go on tour to promote his new album, Age of the Ram, which, by the way, that is no longer his new album anymore. He just released a brand new album just 2 weeks later after that.
So he's now touring a recent album, but not his latest album.
No, exactly. Yeah. So it's very strange. I don't know. By the way, I prefer the recent album.
And now, do you like his music in its own right?
I think it's very good music. Okay. If you're into tradition.
We always need to separate that. They may say stupid things politically, but that doesn't mean he doesn't make good music.
Exactly. If you're into very traditional country music like I am, you'll love Charlie Crockett. I think
now that's interesting because most country music singers are conservative.
Yeah, exactly. So in this case, he's part of this brand called the Outlaw Country, which is still a very conservative side, I would have assumed. But either way, the other thing too of note too of him is, again, the music styling. Like I said, it's very traditional. A lot of country music that you'll hear on the radio per se, it's very popified. You'll hear certain beats like trap beats or 808s and stuff like that, fake drums, very poppy side. But this guy goes back to, I would say, like an 80s style country, which is very, very cool. And it's a good thing to see it in a more modern age of country music. But anyways, the main story that I have for you tonight is that the big news is that he was about to go on tour. And just 2 days before his tour started, he decided to drop his opening act known as Twin Temple. Now, Twin Temple is a doo-wop pop group or a southern rock doo-wop pop group. That's the way they describe it. However, they highly, highly gimmick their act as being satanic. What I mean by that is they constantly do things on stage and they dress in a certain way. They have upside down crosses, they spit blood and do all sorts of crazy shenanigans. It's a very, very strange and weird thing, and I just don't agree with it at all in the first place, obviously. But what's very interesting to note is that Charlie Crockett didn't notice this at all. He stated in a public statement speaking about the group that, "I thought they were like Black Sabbath, but they ain't. Not today, Satan," he said, and that's why he clicked them off the group.
Well, now, getting rid of something satanic, that would sound a little bit conservative.
It would be, too.
But you're saying he kind of put up with it for a long time before.
Well, what I'm saying is specifically, I think he's putting his religion over his politics, and that's a good thing, too, in my opinion.
So his
religion
obviously sounds like Christian.
Exactly, 100%, yes. Now, other artists have actually come out to actually defend the couple of Twin Temple, specifically Jack White. He's a very famous rock artist. He actually offered up his opening spot to his tour that was going to begin on September 29th to Twin Temple as well. Another country artist by the name of Jenny Lewis even stated that she was in support of this whole situation.
Now, the music that this group with the satanic emblems sings, is there anything satanic in their lyrics or music?
How about this? How about some of their song titles, I read to you? They have songs like Lucifer, My Love, Hail Satan, and Hell Is Not a Bad
Place. Now, just so you know, everybody, the Bible does talk about a real Satan, and most of the time he'd prefer to remain hidden because he can control lives better that way. But if people will come out and just outright worship him, he'll take that, since wanting that kind of worship got him kicked out of heaven.
Exactly. And just to speak on that even more, too, was the singer-songwriter Jenny Lewis, when she was claiming her support for them going on tour with Jack White, she said, and quote, "Viva Anton LaVey," who, if you don't know, was the late founder of the Church of Satan back in the day, too. So, again,
if our country's giving podiums now to Nazis and communists, why not Satan?
It's true. It's true. My only complaint about this whole thing, obviously, is that Charlie Crockett should have known this ahead of time, or at least his recording team.
Especially if he's a Christian. He should have, I mean, it was So it sounds like this was a pretty easy thing to decipher.
Exactly. Can I also point out, Jack White's style of music is garage rock. His opening act is Danzig, who's just heavy metal. So how does a doo-wop Santana group mix into that whole rock music? I don't know. My only last thing to mention, too, is that here are the other opening acts that Charlie Crockett has. And I do highly suggest that you people listen to the other people here that I have on this list. Pony Bradshaw, Wild Horses, Honky Tonkin' Queens, Lee Fields, Margo Price, Sierra Hole, and Cassius Culpepper, all of which are actual traditional country artists that work with his traditional country music. That's where you should have focused in more on, not the whole
doo-wop thing. Yeah, it's hard to see how this thing happened in the first place.
Exactly. So if anything, I blame the record label for even putting them together in the first place. It was bad news already written from the start. And if Charlie Crockett gets any controversy about this situation, shame on that, because again, I think religion is much more important in this situation than having to deal with business side of things, for sure. So I applaud Charlie Crockett for this situation and getting them off the tour, for sure. So, and besides, his music's going to speak louder anyways on stage now for this part. So.
Well, better late than never.
Exactly. Well, Bob, that is the end of our show. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Brandon, it's always a pleasure.
Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.